Yes. I'd like to make an observation, really. A perception of Islam is that men make the rules, women obey them. In other words, it's a patriarchal society. Now, this is a general observation, but it is a view that's quite widely held. Now, it does come up in school, and it comes up with Islamic girls in the sixth form level, so they are really young women, they're 17, 18 years of age. Some of them do feel that they are treated as second-class citizens within the family and do feel that their wishes are given less recognition than those of their brothers. And certainly in school, some of the Muslim boys do treat women with scant respect, and some of them certainly do treat the Muslim girls as though they were at lower status. Now, this is a generalization, but it is a perception that's held. So could you say something about the role of women within Islam and how far it is true to see it as a male-dominated society? Men call the shots.
Well, I think this question, or observation as you put it, has to be taken up right from the beginning to the end. Because many reflections are cast in the process of building the question. So unless we take them up one after the other, the question as a whole will not be answered. First of all, remember that religions should be compared with religions, not with secular societies or trends. So to establish this point that Islam has a more empirical role attributed to men in relation to women, one has to compare all the major religions of the world and there find whether Islam stands at a more rigid attitude at that end of the spectrum where the attitude is stiffening and it becomes more rigid, or it's the other way around. Now, studying the role of men in Judaic religions, Judaism and all their different sects, and Christianity, you will find no role for women, first the song, if you go by the scriptures. Only a secondary or tertiary role. Even you will find no mention of women inheriting the property of their fathers. So this is the exact true picture when you compare religions with religions. When you compare to Islam to the other Far East or Eastern religions such as Hinduism, you'll be surprised to find the difference between the Islamic attitude towards women and the Hindu attitude towards women. You know, nowadays there's a large problem of many a woman burnt alive or committing suicide by burning herself, because according to the Hindu custom, that woman had no honor, no self respect for her, no position of respect in the society, just an ordinary small thing which must commit suicide if she is a sensible and in Hindu mythology idol, one who respects idols and fears them, you know. He should commit suicide after the death of her husband, but burning alive. So many a widow of great renowned Rajas and Maharajas in India did that exactly. They all committed suicide. Because life after the death of a husband, anyway, is such drudgery and so unattractive that I think it would be better for such women to commit suicide rather than to suffer through the life after the death of their husband. So there, Islam should be compared with another religion in relation to women. So what you read, see today, as Islamic behavior, that's another aspect which has to be closely examined. Can you call the behavior of an Arab towards to women as Islamic behavior, while the behavior of an Iranian would be different, while the behavior of Indonesian would be different, while the behavior of Pakistanis would be different, and then the behavior would differ from Pakistani to Pakistani? I'm coming to that salient because that is where I can examine things directly in reference to my own personal experience. There's so many families in Pakistan which belong to the higher, economic stages of, economically which are well off, I should say. So those belonging to that tier of economic advantage are also becoming more free in their attitude to women and women's attitude to men. And everything is gone into melting pot as far as the religious background is concerned, and it is now tolerated as acceptable by even those who pose to be very religious. But in the low strata, a different behavior is found, where men sometimes are more despotic and require strict obedience from women. But this is petering out with the passage of time. It is no longer a growing trend. Even at the lowest strata of life in Pakistan, more freedom is achieved by women because there is no Islamic injunction regarding this preferential treatment of men over women. No Islamic injunction. So that is why I'm drawing your attention to this. It's a phase of history which is unfolding itself in different circumstances differently. In Arabia, it is being unfolded differently. In southern parts of Africa, it's unfolded differently. Go to the north and look at the behavior of the Muslim lord towards his wives, and go then to Sierra Leone and Ghana and other west coastal African countries, and the behavior is completely different, where the women seem to acquire a dominant role. Practically, they have become the family, the heads of families. You see, the inheritance as practiced there would have the orphans, of if somebody dies, not inherit the property of their fathers. Only the sister's sons would inherit the property of a man who dies. So they wait for their uncles to die rather than their fathers to die to inherit some property. And this has given the advantage to women because they are playing a pivotal role. And economically also they command a position of higher advantage because mostly it is women who earn rather than men. They are more expert traders. In every sphere of life, these women have that advantage. Yet in certain treatments, of course, because of the pagan traditions, women are treated very unjustly and rather cruelly sometimes. So it was one of my missions to arouse the consciousness of African Ahmadis to this and to tell them that Islam requires you to behave towards your women so decently and so perfectly in order to keep them always happy and pleased and feel a sense of respect, that you here would depend on everything on women. If you misbehave to them, then your case would be of a multiple crime. Owing so much to women who also bear children for you, and they carry one at the back, one in the front, one walking side by side, and plowing the earth. Men sit, quietly and smoke and watch. It is women who plow the earth, who sow sow the crop and reap the crop and carry the heavy bags back home, and they sift them from, you know, the seeds, from what was called chaff. All work is done by women. I said, and yet you have chosen to be disrespectful to women and treat them as secondary, tertiary things. This is what Islam won't tolerate. So Muslim society, which falls under our control, is being uniformly reformed in the light of not what they inherited as their social behavior from their parents, but in the light of what the Quran and the social conduct of Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah, the Prophet of Islam, would dictate. And there you find women in a position of such respect and such kind treatment as seldom you can find the equal of that in history. Prior to Islam, women were things like properties, like cattle. They were distributed in the, you know, in the inheritance. They were a legacy, you know, inherited by their own children if the husband died. So it was a strange thing. Even the stepmothers, when they went into, you know, the lot of some other children, were married by the children, because they were treated as just slave girls in property. This is what was completely transformed by Islam. Honor was rehabilitated. An attitude of respect was rehabilitated. So much so that it is only in Islam you find the teaching that the heaven lies under the feet of your mothers. If women are provided such position of respect that any believer who wants to go to heaven must find heaven from under the feet of the mother, imagine what would be his attitude to his mother. But this is not one mother alone, or a generation of mothers. All girls ultimately become mothers. As far as the differences in the daily life are concerned, we must learn Islam not from the mullahs of today or from Arabia or from Pakistan. We must learn Islam from the conduct of Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah, the Prophet of Islam himself. He never raised a little finger against any of his wives, even though sometimes they gave an occasion for grave annoyance to him. He always spoke kindly and courteously. He never demanded his own personal service from any of his wives. He could sew his own clothes, and did. He could cook his own food, and did, when needed. He served and helped women, his own wives, carry on the daily chores of life. So much so that all the women, all the wives of Holy Prophet report exactly the same. His behavior was not preferential in the sense of what the wife he liked most was treated more kindly and the wife he liked less was treated less kindly. Not at all. You study the reports from all the wives he left, and they are unanimous on this. His conduct towards them was unchangeable. And that is what the Muslims should follow as the pattern. Because once addressing them, he said, "You see, the best among you in the sight of Allah is the one who is the best to his own family. He it is who is the most God-fearing." And he said, "I am the most God-fearing. Follow me." So this is his style and attitude towards women. The rest, as you have mentioned, because there is shortage of time now, I can't attend to the remaining parts of your question, but in the light of this, I hope many a misunderstanding would be removed.